Thank you for bringing them all the way over the Atlantic, Lord God, to minister your love to us this morning. And Father, we say, give us ears to hear what your Spirit says this morning. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Bless you, Larry. Jim.
The glory of God is in this house this morning. And the Bible says in the book of Mark that the kingdom of God is at hand. So just stick your hands up into where the kingdom is. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, the kingdom of God is at your hand. And I just literally stick my hands into the hand of the king and his kingdom coming down on this area of England. The glory, the king and his glory, the kingdom is at the hand of the church, and those are ready to become the church. And Lord, I literally put my hands into the place of the glory cloud coming down that will cover England. It'll not be a volcano cloud, it'll be the cloud of glory. It'll not be some ominous thing that's coming, it'll be the glorious king coming down on the nation. And I literally, in the thick, wonderful, thick, blessed presence of the Lord coming down to touch this precious land, I stick my hands into the cloud of his presence. Hallelujah. Some of your hands are going to get really thick and gooey. We had gold dust in the restaurant yesterday falling in the meeting as six or eight churches gathered together to have a bit to eat, and the Lord comes right where the church is. Isn't that amazing? The Lord comes. I bring blessing and from our church back in Canada called Eastgate. It's a church that's on the east gate of the city, of our city, and we want the glory to come in. And if he can use our church, so be it. And so I pray a blessing from Eastgate, that the place where the glory comes in. Can I dare say? Yes, I will say that. The place where the glory comes in, that you dare to call even the Eastgate a place where the glory will come in here even. And it's a great day to be alive. This is the day the Lord has made on Sunday. And I just lift my voice up. Is that okay for Eastgate Church? Which way is back to Canada? Which way is Canada? Who's got good directions now? West. Which way is west? Can you point that way, folks? Let's just bring a blessing to Eastgate right now, can we? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak a blessing over Eastgate Church in Hamilton. We say, Lord, let the glory of God fall and flow through that doorway, and that those who would be gathered this morning would feel the awesome presence of the Lord Jesus, the breath of the Spirit, and the love of the Father flow through my wife, Diane, as she preaches, and the worship team, in the name of Jesus. Come, come, precious Lord, come. Amen. Well, I felt that go. Yeah. Wonderful. How? Well, I have a message from God for you today. And the best thing you can do is just get your heart ready. So just lay your hands on your heart. Can I just pray for you? Lord, let them understand what they can get today. Lord, no blockages to say, I don't know if I can hear what this man will bring. Lord, I pray that there would be an understanding of the eye of the heart. Literally of what the Lord is about to say to the church in England. And this is a church. These churches are churches of England. And Lord, as we release prophetic words this morning, Lord, and as teaching from Scripture, let the heart come alive and dare say that this land will know revival, and I will not stop my heart from believing once again. I will not stop my heart from believing once again that He is possible and He's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you fear that burning? That's the Lord's love for you today. He's loving you today. My wife and I were one of the first eight people to help John Arnott plant the church in Toronto. I was a Baptist minister for 13 years. Got crazy in the Holy Ghost. Got asked the left foot of fellowship. Got out of the... I was given the left foot of fellowship out the door and became a vineyard pastor. And then I closed the church I was planting in Toronto, and I came under the apostolic leadership of John Arnott, and I'm glad I did. And from there, we helped plant a church in Toronto, which has been called the Toronto Blessing. and it's gone around the world, and I'm so glad that has happened. It's more than laughing revival. It is a radical encounter with the Father's love through Jesus by the breath of the Holy Spirit. And I have four prophecies to release over you today. And God help me to give them. I'm just gonna give myself a little Holy Ghost anointing here. If you don't know how to give yourself Holy Ghost anointing, you can follow my example. I just lay my hand on my head like this. And I let the other one go up to Jesus. If you don't have anyone to pray for you right now, if you prayed for me, I'll drop on the floor. So I can't afford that right now. So this is what I do. If I have no one to pray for me, I just go, receive. And I let the other hand go up to Jesus. And I say, man, receive more of the fire of God. Receive more. Come on now, receive more. I'm talking to myself. You see, I'm overcoming religion. You see, that's what I'm doing. More now. Come on now. You can take more now this morning. Oh, the dove's here. That's good. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. the first thing I want to say this morning is what this is basically. If you're taking notes, this is the notes. What is the Holy Spirit saying to the church? And I want to say the first thing that I know He's saying is that is this point here as I'm releasing deep worship that has a breaker anointing. We felt it this morning. I really believe that last song, and I want you just to notice if you can just take notice at the artwork. Our brother didn't know this, but the Lord spoke to me about this morning that there was that there is a breaker anointing coming in worship, and something will happen in the notes and the songs, the instruments mixed with voices that have a breaker anointing. When I mean breaker, that means He can bust into some things in your life where you've never been able to bust in. There's something about worship, and I just want you to turn to the book of Psalm 67, verse 5 and 6. We believe that David wrote this. We're not sure who really was the author of Psalm 67, but it's called for the director of music. And in verse 5 and 6, it says this: may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. I like verse 5. There's something in praise that they'll do its work. May all the peoples praise you. When there's unified praise, so as you're lifting your voice with the band, and as the band and your voice begins to sing between each other, and you begin to respond, verse 6, then the land will yield its harvest. And God, our God, will bless us. I want to just encourage you. Harvest worship is releasing in England. Harvest praise is having its effect. There in the worship itself, healings will manifest. Even as we prayed for some this morning, words were coming in the worship itself. It's just a demonstration of what's about to happen and en masse, increasingly in this church and other churches, where as worship literally gets its place in its way, in the middle of worship, the Lord will come down and begin to, the dancing hand of God will begin to touch people in the worship itself. See, we've been waiting for the preaching, but the very living word of Jesus is in the worship even before the preach. Amen. And we've been waiting. Oh, well, I hope the pastor has a good sermon. Well, I'm telling you, the worship was your first sermon. Because the word who was created from before and who was beyond creation, Jesus Himself, is in the worship. So as you've learned to worship, that what you need comes down on you. You understand that? So there's something about worship that releases a deep worship that releases a breaker anointing. When I mean breaker, I mean it literally gets in to where you can't get in. It busts into a disease that you've not been able to bust into. It breaks into an area of blessing where you have brought condemnation on yourself. There's something about worship that's going to get increasing on this land that is going to release the bride, the church. And as people, it's going to be called evangelistic worship. As people come in, I say, what a crazy church. They're crazy in here. Hallelujah. But I like it. They're out of control. But I like it. It's a harvest worship where people come in the worship itself, they will give their lives to Jesus. I believe someone got saved this morning, even in our worship. I believe someone here, as we said, I give my life to you. I live only for you. I believe someone in this meeting, as we were singing that, said, I have not been able to say that with the fullness of my heart. I believe someone, even today, got saved. And we're not going to show hands and that kind of thing. But I'm telling you, you need to tell somebody that in the worship, I gave my life to Christ afresh. And it was the deepest place I've ever been to give my life to him. You need to tell the pastoral team here what happened to you. Because you got to confess what you've done in worship. Out of the worship, we know prophecies that will come. But there's a breaker anointing that itself is the prophecy. The worship is the prophecy. And it's going to bring a breakthrough that you need in God. So I just know that was, and I just want to drive it down into these churches. Is it okay that we can just? I want you just sort of point your foot to the, point your finger to the ground, and let's just prophesy a deep worship that have a breaker anointing in these churches. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy over these churches. I prophesy over this church and these churches that the river will have a deepening, a deeper worship that will have a breaker anointing, that they'll worship songs, minstrels, instruments will come with the song of the Lord, deep worship will come and the cloud will manifest. And in the cloud, salvations, people will say, I want Jesus. And in that song, they'll say, I want healing. And then the Lord Jesus himself will come. And on the very ground on which we stand, the worship will rain down the absolute blessing and presence of God. We prophesy that into the very ground on which we walk. England will be known as the place where worship has its way. And the God of worship will do his work. And that the Lord of the worship, the Lord of the instruments, will display Satan as those who think he can worship. It's a lie. The Lord is the truth. Amen. Ho. Who had a damaged shin bone? The top of their leg. They damaged their shin bone. I saw that. Where are you? You actually damaged, you fell and you hurt your shin bone. Where are you? You're going to get healed right now if you can just sort of just let me know where you are to pray for you. You fell and you damaged your shin bone. The shin bone is that front bit of bone on. We're going to find that's the front bit of bone on your leg. I saw you in my dream last night. In my hotel room, that there has been aching in your leg. Where are you? Who's been having an aching in your leg? Yes, come on, sir. Let me pray for you. Did you fall? That's it. Come. Well, I could see an aching in the leg. Come, sir. You're going to get healed right now. Come, sir. You'll be get healed. Yeah, come on. Yeah, right there. What leg is it? Your right leg. Well, you're going to get some more. Leg. Right leg.
Yes, yes.
Just to get someone behind you because...
19 stone hit the ground.
Well, no, you're going to. Someone's going to catch you.
I promise to catch you.
Yeah. Yeah, right there. I want you just to lift your right leg. Just kidding. Right there. Bow! Bow! Right there. Once more. Right, come off him. Come off him. Aching, come off him. Right there. It's going to lift. I just break the power off him. I'm fighting this thing off you, sir. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's right. Now, pain goes. Chronic pain in that right leg goes. The nerve. Recreation of the nerve. Recreation of the nerve that's been hurt in that leg. Recreation. There, go.
Yeah.
Blow the Spirit of God in that leg. Pain, I take authority over you. You're driven off in the name of Jesus. Pain, you're driven off in the name of Jesus. No more twisting him at night so he can't sleep because of the leg pain. Go. Night visitation of pain. Go. I take authority over you. There. Right there. Just let it go. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, there he is.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. That's got to be real. It's got to be real.
Come on. Let's take a bit of a run. Hallelujah. Ha, ho, ho, ha, Jesus, hallelujah. This one, let's do a dance. Let's do a dance, a mighty dance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Number two, what is the Holy Spirit saying to the church? Number two, hallelujah. Oh, my God. I'm getting so drunk. The Holy Spirit saying is the church will operate in the glory shift. Woo, that went over your head. I'll say it again. Number two, the church will operate, will learn to operate now in the glory shift. I got to say it once more just so I can get what I'm going to say. The church, the Holy Spirit is saying to the church in England and this church that it's going to begin to operate when the Lord shifts a glory in a meeting, the glory shift. And I'm going to describe that just so you have real good notes now. Mark chapter 5, verse 30. You know so well the teaching about the woman who touched the hem of his garment. But there's one thing that's been sticking out in my mind is how Jesus stopped the service when the glory shift hit. Do you remember that? He stopped the service. He literally shifted his purpose when the glory changed course in a meeting. I mean, did you get that? He was so sensitive, and that Jesus is here in the churches. And when he starts doing something different, you operate in the glory shift. When the glory is shifting, you follow where the glory has shifted. Look at verse 30. You know what's happened? She pressed through 12 years of bleeding, just one touch. Immediately her body was stopped. Verse 29, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Then 30, at once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" He was on his way to Jairus' daughter to raise a girl from the dead. And what happened was he stopped the service to do something else. Why did he do that? The glory shift. He literally was ready to do something. And all of a sudden the Lord said, "Whoops, the glory is coming down on something else." And then right in the middle of your service, whoop, we better do something here different. Do you understand that? It's what you call God's divine order. We've got an order of service, three hymns, an offering, and a Shabbat Baba at the end, you know? But God is going to start changing the order of church. That if something happens in the worship, hallelujah, the glory shift. Let's just worship all morning. And because there's healings to breaking out. So we could have done that actually today. Mark, you could have kept going because those healings were breaking out. Andy, excuse me. You could keep breaking out. Can I tell you that there is many ways where we're going to recognize that the Lord himself, the Lord of glory, will begin to shift things around in a service. And if you do the three hymns and an offering, guess what? You'll miss the glory shift. Now, there'll be some services where the Lord said three hymns and an offering and a good preach and Shabbat Baba, right? And that'd be great. I was preaching in Denmark in Copenhagen, and at the end of the service, we were doing a fire tunnel, and I started yelling a prophecy at the end of the meeting, and I didn't know what I was yelling. I started yelling, "Bonky, bonky, bonky!" Did I tell you this before about the bonky bonkies? You didn't hear the bonky bonky. Okay, so I'm at the end of the service. We're doing the, you think you prophesy at the first. No, at the end, we're doing this fire tunnel. We're down to the pastor, myself, and the youth pastor. And we were doing like a threefold glory tunnel at the end of the service. I started jumping, saying, "Bonky, bonky, bonky." Now, what was going on? It was a glory shift. The Lord was starting to break out at the end of the service. He could have started the Lord at the beginning. It would have been nice, but he waited to the end. And I said, "Bonky, bonky, bonky." And I was praying for the pastor. And he fell down. The youth pastor fell on top of him, and I fell on top of him. Here we got this holy speed bump in the middle of the church. And I was yelling in the pastor's ear, two levels down, the sandwich, you know. I'm down, you know, he's the bread on the bottom. Bunky, bunky. He said, Jim, you're prophesying in Danish. But glory to God, the wind of God's here. You might know, leave the glory shift is happening. Leave that door open. Bonky, bonky. And the man says, you're prophesying in Danish. I said, what? He says, I just got healed on the pile. You're down there, number three. You're in the third position down there. How did you get healed? As you yelled, bonky, 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 I just got healed. I said, what? How in the world could you, me fall on top of you, and you get this yelling of this crazy Canadian yelling, bonky, bonky, could you get healed? He said, well, he said, the word bonky, bonky is a word in Danish. It means pile up. So you just... Oh, yeah. So what happened is, you were yelling over us, and what happened, you didn't know what you're saying, and the Holy Ghost just did what you just prophesied in Danish. But I got a second healing. It's that you didn't know, but 26 years ago, my second child was born with anencephalic. She was born with CP, cerebral palsy, and she couldn't move her legs, and she is an invalid. She'd never grown more than 3 feet long, and we cared for her for 26 years. And as a baby in our house, I would play with her because she couldn't talk or move. I would grab my little girl in my arms, and I'd run into my bedroom, jump on the bed, and then we would play a game. And the game was called Bonky Bonky. And I would hold that little girl in my arms, and I'd protect her body. I would jump on her big bed, and I would yell, bonky, bonky, in the house. And all the kids would run from every corner. He had seven children. And they would jump on top of the bed, on top of the father, and the little girl would laugh. Only time she laughed. He says, as you yelled, bonky, bonky, and you fell on me, it was the father that was holding me in his arms for 26 years of holding that baby. What happened in that service? The glory shift. When the Lord is allowed to do what he wants to do, and the glory starts moving in the service, and he starts taking over. What do you call that? The glory shift. When you shift where the glory cloud is moving in a service, and you don't know what's going to happen. Isn't that great? You go to church, you don't know what's going to happen. All heaven can break loose. You don't know what's going to happen. We're going to go to River Church, and bonky bonky could fall on somebody. We don't know what could happen. Something could happen. We don't know. We're just ready for the glory shift. What's going to happen in the service? Well, something's going to happen in Jesus' name. So are you ready for the glory shift? Okay. Let's prophesy in the ground once more. Just start pointing to the ground. Lord, this church and the churches of England are going to begin to operate in the cloud of glory as it begins to shift in the service, as it changes and moves. The Lord of glory, as he begins to bust in by the Spirit, he begins to do things that we've never seen before. He takes over the order of service. He comes in. He blows in the beginning, the middle, the end. Whatever he wants to do, we let the glory of the Lord shift in this service. Oh. Boy, I need a cup of tea. Just lift your cups up to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Some of you got big cups. Just have a little cup of tea from Holy Ghost. Oh. That's heavenly tetley tea, that one. Wow. Sharaba. Sharaba. You look at. Oh, Baba. Yarabasa. Harabasa. Yekarabasa. Yeah. Oh, ba, ba, ba. Oh, ba, ba, ba. Oh, ba, ba, ba. Oh, ba, ba, ba. I hear the Lord saying that he's destroying diabetes in this meeting right now. Who's got diabetes? Stand up. If you got diabetes, stand up. Yeah, the Lord, you're going to get a full meal deal today. Lay your hands on her stomach. Put your hands on her stomach. I saw... Did I must say that? Did you see that? Indian woman with diabetes getting healed. It's right in my notes. English woman. An English woman. That's right. Every generational curse of diabetes. I curse you. I curse you. Die in her body. Die in her body. Come off her in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. Break it off the generations. Break it off Di's life. Break it off Di's life. Break it until she has no more trouble with digesting food in Jesus' name. Break it until she feels it burning in her life. Sister, can you lay your hands on our sister? And just put your hand on your stomach, can you? In the name of the Lord, just send the word of healing to our sister. In the name, we rebuke diabetes. We rebuke it from the core, from the core. I pull that thing out that's come and tormented her from a younger woman. I pull it out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every offensive thing that hurts her, that she cannot digest properly, her blood goes up crazy. Lord, bring the addictive craziness off her blood. There's the fire of God right there. There's a fire. I feel a fire coming right on your body. There, come. More, more. Bend that thing. Bend it. Oh. What just happened? The glory shift. Do you see what just happened there? The Lord demonstrated what was just going on. I just said, we're going to do what the Holy Spirit's doing. That's the glory. And he told me about diabetes. I had it on my paper, but he said, now. Do you see that? We're going to learn to obey the Spirit of God. Obey the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Pastor Kristen told me that your grandfather was a part of the Jeffreys revivals in England.
My grandfather was used in the conversion of the younger of the Jeffreys.
Would have been Stephen. Yeah. George Jeffreys was older. Stephen Jeffreys was younger. And Stephen Jeffreys started the Assemblies of God. George started Elam. The one who laid his hands on me and ordained me to the ministry was the right-hand man of George Jeffreys. He was an evangelist from Ireland, and he traveled, and he was 18 years old in Croydon over here. He went to the Bible school, and they called him out and said, you are an Irish preacher. You start planting the churches after we do the three-month healing crusade in all the cities of England, Ireland, and Scotland. And that's what he did. He went from place to place. He told me stories of the Jeffreys that the England will have again with yet double. You'll feel the power of God. You've been praying for that. That it'll have a double. What your father, grandfather did. There's a double mantle coming. The Jeffreys will come. Mrs. and Mrs. Jeffreys. There'll be women and men, young men and women that will have the power of George and Stephen Jeffreys. That will be amazing on the earth. No disease will follow them. No disease will not obey them. No disease in the name of the Lord Jesus will have authority from town to town, village to village, hamlet to hamlet. Young men with the anointing of George and Steve Jeffreys are coming back on this nation, and God himself will have a mighty, mighty harvest of a harvest crew of young men and women that will lay their lives down for the soil of England. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord told me that something of George Jeffreys was on my back from the laying of hands from his assistant in Canada. Interesting. I'm so glad you're here today. Okay, where are we? We're number three. Oh, Jesus. I feel like... I'm getting full. Yeah. I'm a big drinker. Okay. What's the Holy Spirit saying? We're number three. What is the Holy Spirit saying to the church? Okay. He's saying this. You are one step away from revival. Say that. Prophesy that with me into the air. You are one step away from the revival. Once more. You are one step away from the... Speak it to the church now once more. You are one step away from revival.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm going to speak to Scripture to tell you, to prove it, that you just need one more step and it can all break out. One more step and it can all bust out. John chapter 4, verse 34. John 4, 34. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. John 4:34. We know the story well about how Jesus, by the Spirit, was led to one person. And here it is. Just one more conversion and revival can bust out. You just get one dramatic harvester that gets saved in your town and the whole town can get saved. Here's the story. Verse 34, it says that Jesus, you know, told his disciples, look, I just had a big meal. I've just led someone to Jesus right here to myself. I've just led someone to the Father right here at the well here. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Others reap, but look, my Father's working right now. He just won a radical harvest evangelist. Then goes on to 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And they came. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more believed. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We now have heard for ourselves. We know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Jesus himself in your town can win one woman and the whole town can get saved. One step. You're one step away. Jesus can save a young man tonight in Slough and that whole town can get saved. You understand that? That's what can happen. You're one step away. You're one conversion away from an all-out breakout. Oh God. Oh man. Hallelujah. Fresh wine's being poured out here. Fresh wine. Fresh wine. Oh, fresh wine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Keep coming and healing. Hallelujah. Boo, 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 shiki, baba, boo, 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 boo. So you don't know when you lead someone to Christ, you don't know if that's the next step that one conversion can bust out the whole town. So that for me says that we need to, as much as we can, lead that one next one to Jesus. Because that one next one could be the woman at the well that's going to shake up Marlowe. It's going to shake up Maidenhead. It's going to shake up Slough. It's going to shake up the towns in which you live. Here's another one. You just need one more soul to get saved. Or you just need one more vision from God. And the whole thing can blow up in the presence of God. Acts 16, verse 6. We read of what one more vision to a believer can do. If you just get one more vision from God, what can it do? In chapter 16, verse 6, it says that Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Perga and Galatia, and having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. The man of Macedonia, in his vision, said, come over, would you help us? And all of Europe had the gospel preached that day because of one vision. Now think of this. Tonight in your bed, you can have an encounter, a vision that will literally bring you to a place where God will fall in that place that you're going. Do you realize that believers in this congregation can be given one vision, and that vision can become an atomic bomb where you go, can direct you? Do you realize revival is one vision away? Say that with me. Revival is one vision away. I speak a blessing over your eyes so that you would literally in your spiritual eye, you would see, and that you would not be bound up for vision. That you will see. I just release you today. I release you to see afresh in the name of Jesus. Here's one more. You're one soul. You're one vision. You're one more angelic vision, visitation away from revival. Oh, come on now. Don't put the brakes on now. I can smell the brakes. What are you talking about? You are one angelic visitation away from revival. Shabbat. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. Paul didn't like the Gentiles. Excuse me. I'm not talking about Paul right now. Peter didn't like the Gentiles. And it says in verse 3, one day about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God in his vision. So here's an angel visitation, came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? The angel said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up. And actually Cornelius had a vision. And then we find out, had an angelic visitation in chapter 10. And now Peter had a vision. And then the angel directed the harvest to the Gentile nation because of the angelic visitation to the house of Cornelius. Can I tell you, you're one more angelic visitation away from radical bust out in these towns. Do you realize Jehovah Sabaoth is his name? You know what that means? Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of heaven. The Lord of the hosts. You'll have to learn to begin to understand that the Jehovah, the God who you understand, is the Lord of the angels. And he's bringing angels down to begin to direct the end time battle for England. There's a great air battle. There's a great battle in the air. And the angels are coming to fight for this land. And you're one visitation of an angel away from a bust out in the nation. So let's just ask the angels to come today, shall we? Just lift your hand up into that glory. You can do that. You can cooperate with this crazy Canadian. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus, we plead to the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the fighting host of the armies of heaven. They're called angels. We say, would you send some down? Would you visit some young people? Would you visit the churches? Would you visit one more angel visitation? We need one more. We need more, Lord, just one more angel seraphim and burn away cancer in one town. And the whole town can get, Lord, we need one more angel to come with messages, messenger angels. We need one more cherubim to come with worship down, and the whole place can bust out. Lord, more angels to come down, and Lord, everything can change. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I feel the fire now. I'm feeling the fire. Who's feeling hot? It's not a hot flash, sir. It's not your hormones. It's not your hormones. It's the testimonies of God. It's God's angels coming down here. The seraphim are coming down here. The fire of God. Hallelujah. Ha. Do you realize you're not only one soul, one vision, or one angel away? You're one healing away from a whole town to get saved. Do you realize that? It can take just one more healing, and you can, the whole town of Marl could get saved. You know, it spreads, you know. You know, they know the dirty laundry there in Marlow. Now, it spreads in the pubs. I'll tell you, they could find out what's going on. Right there. And so, if one more dramatic healing would happen in Marlow, guess what would happen? They're at the pub, they're saying, hey, did you see that cancer? That was dying, had no hair left. And boom, the hair came back on. The body, she's walking on the street right now. Take a look at that cancer patient. Look at that lady. She was dying. We were raising money for her. Look at what's just happened. One healing away. Listen, this is amazing what happens. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda, and he found a man named Ananias, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Paul was just a believer like you and me. He met Jesus, and Peter. Ananias, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, take care of your mat. Immediately, Ananias got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Two towns get saved because of one healing. Now listen to that. Two towns harvested because of one dramatic healing. What could happen when the sickest person in Maidenhead gets healed and everybody in the city and the town knows it? Boonga boonga. Boy, that'd be great. What would happen on the campus of the university where Journey is and one very sick teacher gets a dramatic healing tonight? That whole campus can be on fire. We're just one healing away. Let's take a moment and appeal to the Lord for dramatic healing angels to come, dramatic healings, gifts of the Spirit for miracles, signs and wonders, just right into the air. Father, maybe you could use me to lay hands on the sick. Maybe, Father, you could use me. Maybe I could be one to say, be healed in Jesus' name in the pub tonight. Maybe you could use me in the school tomorrow. In the name of the Lord Jesus, rise and be healed. Maybe some of us could be the one that leads that one healing and sees God touch the whole town. My hands are just buzzing right now. There's a release of healing on my hand. I'm telling you that my hands are buzzing. There's divine electricity in the meeting. Whose hands are buzzing right now? I'm telling you, it's increasing to the place where there's divine electricity. I'm telling you, there's a healing, a release coming right now in this place, and that you'll begin to see what we're preaching. God's following the word with a testimony. We're going to pray for a healing release even today, but you just keep those buzzing. You turn the buzz up, Lord, in Jesus' name. So just one more healing. Can I tell you something else? Just one resurrection from the dead in a town. And the whole town can get saved. Look at Acts chapter 9, 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which meant Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Say died. Died. I mean, her body was rigor mortis. I mean, she was stiff. Okay? That's a bad... Just wipe that vision away from me. About that time, her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, come, please, at once. Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around and cried and showed him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made when she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Get out. And he got down on his knees and prayed. Can I tell you, your grief will not raise the dead. Your sorrow over that dead person will not. You've got to get that out of the room. He drove those who had the little trinkets and things that she made, got them. Come on, folk, get out of the room. And he said, he got down on his knees and prayed, turning a word towards the dead woman. He said, Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes, seeing Peter, and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows, and they came and presented her alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Amen. It was a harvest resurrection from the dead. Now, folks, what would happen in Slough tonight if one of the well-known people in that city died and you went and laid their hands and they rose from the dead in their house? Or the morgue. I mean, I've heard it in China. People in the slab, on the slabs in morgue. Two guys get resurrected right in the morgue in China. One guy stalks the other. One guy next door, two guys get resurrected, and they're talking to each other in the morgue. And the guy freaks out. He comes into the morgue of the hospital, and these two guys in the cold room are chatting about Jesus, how he just touched their bodies. Would that freak you out? You go in, you're going to bury them, and these two bodies are talking to each other? Well, England's not chopped liver. You know, we can have it too here, right? Amen. We can have resurrections. Yeah. I have a good friend named Jeff Jansen that I preach with in the United States. And he said this to me just some months ago. He says, Jim, there's coming another move of God on the earth. It'll be called the Resurrections of the Dead movement. I said, what? He says, there's a revival going to break out. It'll be called the Revival of the Resurrections of the Dead. I said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm talking about this. The Lord showed me that there's a movement of the glory of God coming on the earth. It'll be called the Resurrections of the Dead Revival. And it'll be sprung. And in the meetings, people will be raised from the dead. That means when you go to church and you die, you get... I mean, don't come to church if you're dead, but that is a good place. But there'll be meetings where people will go out and raise people from the dead and bring them back to a meeting. That's how powerful it's going to get. I said, count me in. I want to go to those meetings. I want to go to the hotel. I want to go to the morgue and talk over a dead body. You know, the really stiff ones. And see the life of God come in there. But it's one resurrection in the whole place. Can I tell you, you're one more act of the Holy Spirit away from a breakout. Say that with me. We're one more act of the Holy Spirit from a breakout. Oh. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Does April 12th mean anything to anybody here? April 12th. Do you have a son or a daughter born on April 12th? Does anyone like have a grandchild on April 12th? Or someone in your family born on April 12th? It's important to somebody here, that date. Your brother, yeah, it's usually a family member I get. Can I just pray for you and for that brother-in-law? Is he saved? That's it. Usually I get people who are unconverted. When I get a date, it's usually I'm calling people into salvation. So, okay, can we pray for our sister? So let's just pray for our sister. What's his name?
David.
David, come home. Amen. The harp is waiting. The songs of the Lord are waiting. That's right. Come back to the covenant, both the old and new. Break off the old, the anger against the church. Break it off. And everywhere he was hurt by the church, break it off David's life. And we call him to the Lord Jesus. We call the prayers of the saints and his own sister-in-law. We call out his name, David, 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 come home. When the day you were born, you were called not just to life, but to eternal life. Very quickly, let the fire come on his life and bring him to the Lord Jesus. And let us even now rejoice that that day is coming soon. David coming home. Protect him from any torment until that day. Lord, quickly, knock on his door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha. Ho. 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 Oh, my God. There's a thick presence here this morning. Just breathe it in. Just another gulp. Oh, my. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Who's got tinnitus in the ear, the ringing? Yeah, come on, brother. Come on, Paul. Anybody else who's got a ringing? Yeah, come, sir. Come, sir. Yeah, come stand. Yeah, come. Can you just stretch your hands towards our... Yeah. And we're just going to pull something off the root of the nerve, the ear, the nerves on the ears. Is that all right? Okay, are you ready to pull? I want you just to pull on that thing because there's been a torment on the ear, a torment on the ear in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come and we literally come to the tormentor. It's called insanity. Break it off! Break it off! Try to make them go crazy with the noise. Break it off. I pull this nerve, the ear, the nerve on the ear, and I pull it off in the name. The nerve that was affected. The nerve by the great noise that went in his ears. I pull it off in Jesus' name. I say, open! 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 Open and stop tormenting this man of God. 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 Get off his eardrum. Get off his nerves. Get off the ears in Jesus' name so that he cannot be crazy. He can be peace in his ears. Be at peace now. Be at peace. Be at peace. Be at peace right there. Just receive that. Right there. Some kind of great fright came to this man. A great noise came to him. And just okay, right there. Great fright came to his ears. A great noise. Great fright. Trauma to his head. And trauma. Great sorrow came to this man. And I come against that sorrow. There it is. Come on. I move it off him. That off his nervous system. That great sorrow that came to this young man. Break that sorrow off him in the name of the Lord Jesus. There. It's the presence of God. There he's coming. There he's coming. That's right. Sweet. That's sweet. 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 Jesus. 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 Thank you. Paul, look at me. The Lord forgives you for all that noise that came from all the heavy music that you played. He's forgiven you. You've got to forgive yourself, Paul. Okay.
No, that's just really forgiveness come. Okay. The Lord forgives you. The Lord forgives you for all the volume that you turned up. You didn't, as a young man, know. You didn't know that you'd hurt your body. And that something great on top of that. In the name of the Lord. That's right there. That's where the forgiveness come to Pauline in Jesus' name. Forgiveness come to him. There it is. There it is. That's right. That thing that came on his ears, that burned his eardrums, that burned his nerves, that tormentor that came on his nerves. That's right there. Come off him. Come off him. Come off him. In Jesus' name. Come off him. Forgive him. Lord, let him receive forgiveness in his body. Let him receive forgiveness in his body. Let him receive forgiveness in his body. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. Which one?
Both.
Both ears. Come on, guys. We're going to pull this off these eardrums and off the nervous system. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus. That's right. There was a childhood infection in your ears, and it damaged. I just saw damage. There was an infection in your ears, and we're going to just pull that tormentor that came as a little boy of ear infections and ear aches. There it is. Oh, the Holy Ghost is coming on you right now. That right there. Right there. Right there. Right there. Oh, it's going. It's going. Right there. Come on. All of it. Lift off. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Right there. Right there. Right there. I command you, get your hands off this man's ears. Stop making him have noise in his ears. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't you dare come back. Don't you dare torment this man of God. Don't you dare torment that little boy ever again.
Amen.
Can I just get to the fourth point, folks, because I want to get to this last bit. Is what's the Holy Spirit saying to the church? He says, number four, fight for your prophecies. The church will fight for her prophecies. That a believer will fight in the words that she's been given by personal prophecy. That Christians are beginning to fight for the word of prophecy that has been given to them. That there is a prophecy that has been given to you that you will fight for. Like never before. And that's coming. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying to the church. And the scripture is very clear. In 1 Timothy 1:18. It says, Timothy, my son, I give you this command in keeping with the prophecies that were made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight. There's something when you fight for your prophetic words, when somebody's prophesied over you and you say, it's mine, praise God, it's mine. That word is mine. It will manifest. Everything inside me says, I agree. Fight for your prophecies. How many here have received personal prophecies by anybody that's prophesied a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a prophetic vision over your life? Can you just sit there? Yeah. If you have not received a personal prophecy, we're going to line you up. Right here. We're going to get a team to pray for you at the end of the service. Why? Because you're going to have to, you're going to have to listen to the prophetic words. Where it the Bible says, that Peter, the word of God says, that Paul says this, that God is speaking to his people. And the word fight for your prophecy really means come into an agreement and don't just let bygone be bygone. Don't just say, well, if God will do it in God's word, God will do his own word. No, he wants you to agree and fight and to your prophet, which means we'll say, this is what it means. You can say no to a whole lot of things when you have a prophetic word. And then you can say yes to some things because you have a prophecy about what Jesus said about your life through the gift of prophecy that was prayed over your life. It's very helpful. Fighting the things that God said about you, that you can say, it's mine. That word, that I got a word in another one. Lord, it's talking about my life as ministry. It talked about what I'm going to do with my kids. It's talked about where I'm going to go. It's talked about what kind of life and ministry I'm going to have. It's mine, says the Lord in me, gather. Let me give you a demonstration, a testimony of exactly what I mean. In 1999, I was preaching in New York City, actually Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn is a borough of New York City, and I was preaching to a group of Assemblies of God pastors. And they had gathered for a good meal, and in the house there was about 30 pastors, 15 couples, about 15 different churches. And I was prophesying over each church. And I came to about one church, and a pastor from Staten Island, and I said, he was planting an Assemblies of God church in Staten Island. And I began to prophesy over him. And I laid my hand on him, and this is the word I said. I says, you are going to into a dark place, but the Lord your God will, it's going to be a near-death experience, but the Lord your God will pull you out, and he'll save your life. That's not a very nice, how would you like to get that prophecy? Come on, give that crazy Canadian something better than that. Can't you give me a Shababa or something? Like, couldn't he just give me a good one? But that's a scary one. And at the end of the meeting, we found out, I sort of knew he was a fireman, and I was praying a prophecy over his life. September the 11th, 2001 came. How many saw that on the news? You're watching? Did you see the truck name? Staten Island, First Ladder Division. Guess who were first to the first tower? This pastor, in the fire truck. 8:30 in the morning, his wife turned on the television, knew that he was on duty. She saw the CNN with the camera showing her husband's truck at the first tower. She said, oh my God, that's my husband at this burning tower. Oh my God. She said, don't go to school. We got to pray for daddy. Look at his truck is down there right at the foot of that tower. The thing's shaking. That plane hit it. And she said, where's that tape from that crazy Canadian? Where is it? Kids, I got to find it. So she went all over the house looking for the little tape. You know, we put before the digital age. I mean, you know, so she got it under her socks, you know, in the drawer. And she says, there it is. And she went into the kitchen with the kids, and she says, the Lord said he would go to a near-death experience. He'd go into a dark place, and that the Lord would get him out. My God, my knees. And she started shaking the tape at the television. Whatever it takes to fight, folks. You can look crazy. I don't care what you look like. But whatever you need to do to fight for your prophecy, you do it. If it takes shaking the tape at a TV, do it. So here she is, shaking this tape at the television. And the first tower shaken, and the captain, and we found out, I called down to New York. It took me 3 days to get through the pastor. He told me the story, what happened, that this man said, the tower starts shaking. The captain of the ladder division says, get out, she's coming down. And he ran with his team. He got out because it took a little longer for that first one to fall. He got out. They cleared away. Their truck was smashed. I think you saw it on the TV. And then they went into the second tower, and they took a few people out, and that one was shaking real bad. It was coming quick. And the captain said, this one's coming down. Everybody, every man for the, get out of here, every man for themselves. And the whole lobby of the second tower was black with smoke. I mean, we're talking dirty smoke. And he couldn't see a thing. See, the prophecy says you're going to go into a dark place. Did you hear that? He said, this is it. That's the prophecy. I'm in a dark place. What did that prophecy again? You're going to let me fight. I'm in a dark place. Yeah, that's happening right now. Second thing, what did that prophecy say? It would be a near death. I like the word near death experience. Okay, I'm not going to die. Now I'm not going to die. What do I do? And the Lord said, I will draw you out. And so the captain says, every man for yourself, run, get out of here. And so the whole troop went right. It says that he waited for the Holy Spirit to tell him where to run. And he stood at the doorway, and the Holy Spirit said, run left. And he went left. And he ran. By the time he got a few meters away, the whole place fell down. I don't know how many, 60 stories. And he was standing under the girder that joined the next building. The whole building came down around him, and he was protected by the shadow of the girder. The newspaper article tells the whole story of how a prophecy, he fought for his prophecies. Can I tell you, you don't know when you need your prophecy, and you don't know. And I'm telling you something. Do not be afraid of your prophecies. Fight for them. And more than that, don't be afraid to get another one, because it'll just add more fight on top of the fight. And that you'll just layer them so that you can get all that you need to get from God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Who has like chronic pain in your body? just chronic pain. You're aching all the time. Come over here, sister. Are you from Germany?
Yes.
No, I'm from here, but I'm in Germany. Yeah. Have they given it a name?
No, they just say it. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, a lot of people call it fibromyalgia. I'm not going to put that on you, but I've just that chronic pain in your body. And I'm just going to lift off right now. The Holy Spirit's all over our sister. She's come today, and the Lord's going to lift her off in the name of the Lord. I just bind any word in every fiber of her body where there's pain. Every shock that came to her as a little girl, and she frightened to death. She was frightened. The fear came on. Come off her. There. Come on. Go. Oh, go. Go. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Knock it out of her, Lord. Right from that little girl. Here's a good word. Mine, Shotzi. 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 That means dear. My sweetie. Sweetie. You know, I was preaching in the Black Forest, and the Lord gave me a word in German to call the owner of the house Shotzi. And she said, that's the first time I've heard it since I was 4 years old. My father called me Shotzi. And when you said that to me, I felt the Father of God loved me like I've never felt. So I'm going to call my sister Shotzi. Here's mine, Shotzi. Right inside her body, in her every nerve, every muscle, every bone, every ligament, every muscle connection, the fire of God burning it off, every part of her, especially in your shoulders. Something's going to lift off your shoulders. In the shoulders, been a knife in your shoulders and your neck coming down your arms, coming in the name of the Lord Jesus, coming off the body. There, come on, lift it. Lift fire. Burn off every, the love of God. Kiss his dear girl. Oh, there's fire all around our sister. There's a burning emblem, a burning ember all over her body. Ha. Ha.